T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Okay, producer Mike has a great idea for a business, and I have a great idea for a product. And I'm hoping you can text the show and tell us, who do you think has the better idea? Here's the text line. It's the same as the call-in line. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line. Producer Mike, pitch your idea. I won the coin flip in the break, so I get to pitch mine second. So I get to really pump it up. What is your business idea?
Well, I just came up with a name for a bakery. I don't have a full concept, but based on our current political affairs, I would say my bakery would be called Cake News.
Cake News instead of fake news. Cake News.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that in case they were confused. Then yes, Cake News.
It's a great idea. Here's my product idea. And you remember, I want you to text in who you think has the better idea. The number 314-436-7900. Now that more artistic works are starting to go into public domain, I want to come out with a CD. Now that's what I call public domain. And it will go be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll get up to like 100, wherever they are now for pop music. Now that's what I call public domain. And then we wouldn't have to pay the rights. We just take it off of public domain. We can sell the CDs. There's no residuals or anything like that. We'd make a mint. What do you think would make more money? Your Cake News Bakery, or now that's what I call public domain 1, and then 2 and 3, anything that comes after that. I think mine would make a lot of money.
Why would people have to buy your product when they could get the music on their own?
Don't tell them they can get it on their own. Yeah. I'll just sell it to them. They
don't
even know
that.
I'll
provide a service that they can't get for free on their handheld.
Thanks, producer Mike.
Yep.
Cake News. All right, on KMOX.com, a couple of different stories were posted yesterday. It was revealed that the feds in the state of Missouri will investigate the timesheets at Slate. KMOX News learning that the feds in the state of Missouri will be looking into it. Probe began after the KMOV TV report from whistleblowers claiming that some of the workers are falsifying timesheets, getting paid for hours they aren't working. Now, this is a big problem because they were also saying that behind the scenes they were asked to sign documents that they knew were false. They were saying that maybe they were smudging the numbers to make it look like the organization were helping more people than they were. There was a lot of accusations that absolutely warrant an investigation, and they're going to look into that. Now, Mayor Lyda Crewson, who appointed the current director of Slate, issued a statement. As you know, I requested the state auditor to perform an audit. The Missouri Division of Workforce Development has notified us that they will perform on-site monitoring in the next 30 days. We'll continue to investigate. Even State Representative Bruce Franks came out and made a statement. In fact, there's a couple of things. Like Bruce Franks, I have an article that was posted on the STLAmerican.com, STLAmerican.com, St. Louis American. And it's essentially the same statement that he put out, released on his own, except it was modified in a certain way. I'm going to read a part of this statement because I think that it's interesting that the way he framed this. Says a nonprofit that uses $0 of taxpayer money, but a grant funded, even though KMOV tried to mislead the public otherwise. Moreover, I was not hired by St. Louis agency on training and employment Slate for the role, but by LETC. My hire date was July 3rd, 2017. I stopped working the beginning of February 2018. 5 out of 7 months that I worked for LETC, the legislator was out of session. It really doesn't matter because he was asked to resign because he couldn't legally take that. If you remember what the regulations and how inappropriate, just the fact that a government agency was paying him. Now, he's trying to dispute that sort of thing, but, you know, that might be his defense, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a strong enough one, just based on everything I've seen so far. But this is what he pointed. He said, due to these various responsibilities, I often worked no more than 32 hours a week as timesheets were due every 2 weeks and due to the fact my hours were unconventional. Now, I wanted to play back something for you, because after this KMOV report aired, Bruce Franks went to Facebook and he wanted to give his side of the story. There's one clip in particular I want to play for you. Listen to this.
Given the hours of my job, because I work 100 hours a week, I'm actually in the community, I'm actually doing the work on top of the actual representative part, on top of actually like showing up to work. Like, that's what y'all mad at? Like, y'all mad at a state rep that make $36,000 a year?
Okay, let's point out a couple of things that he was first trying to defend himself on that Facebook video. What did he just say? I work over 100 hours a week. What was the exact number?
Because I work 100 hours a week, I'm actually in the
Because I work 100 hours a week. So now the official statement comes out outside of the Facebook video, and he says 32 hours. Okay, that's what you put down for that. Well, but I work 100 hours a week. But he also points out towards the end of this.
Community, I'm actually doing the work on top of the actual representative part.
On top of the actual representative part. Well, what did he say in his statement? Well, now he said 5 out of the 7 months I was out of session. Well, that's interesting. So now that you're trying to defend yourself, you're changing your story based on your initial reaction. AKA, how do I know what you're saying is truthful? You changed your story already, and it's a matter of a week. You can't stay consistent. This was on January 2nd. Okay, 2 weeks ago to this day. You've already changed your story. So that is very questionable. Totally warrants an investigation. Absolutely. Now, the latest that you hear from KMOV, or excuse me, from KMOX, you can go to KMOX.com. You hear it in the news. Brad Choate was covering it. Allegations of falsifying all of this stuff. Alderman President Lewis Reed demanding that Slate remove any shredding equipment from the premises. Now, I don't know how late he is to the party. 2 weeks later, I feel like maybe this would have been a good idea at the very start. Like the day after, to try to preserve some of these documents? Oh, man. You know what? I hope the investigators get in there and they find evidence that they have destroyed documents inside there. I really hope they do, because I want there to be any type of, if there's anything in there that's inappropriate, I want it pointed out and I want it documented and I want it shown to the public, because this is nonsense. A government agency shouldn't be operating this way. Okay, so you can find that on KMOX.com. Let me get to Rich real quick. Rich, what's going on?
I just have to say, I hate to steer away from that, but going back to you and Mike's ideas for businesses,
yeah,
I think fake news is going to win, and I'll tell you why.
Fake news, okay.
Because here's why. Okay, you're talking about public domain CDs, so you're talking about CDs that have things like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, Battle Hymn of the Republic, all that stuff. If you're going to sell those, who are you going to get to sing them? Because if you want, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in there and you want Mariah Carey to sing it, you're going to have to pay her to do it. Regardless of the song is public domain or not, you're still going to have to pay the artist for it. I mean, maybe you can get Jerome to record them all for you, but I don't know how appealing that CD is going to sell to the masses.
No, I'm under the impression that I can just go back into time, find an old record or whatever it would have been recorded on, and just rip that completely off. So the original performance in the artist from the, you know, 99 years ago, whatever it was.
I mean, you may still have to pay their family.
I don't know. You know, I think that once it's in public domain, the original work stays there. That's what I'm under that impression. Now, if you were to find one that has been modified or remixed or something like that, that changes things. But the actual original, when it was put into publication, is what you could use. Same thing with books and things. So at that point, you don't actually have to have a physical copy of the book. As long as it's the original book, you can take the themes and the characters and do whatever you want with it. That's why Walt Disney's upset, because once that Steamboat Willie goes in there, the floodgates for what Mickey Mouse looked like on Steamboat Willie is going to open up a lot of people for knockoff Disney and Mickey Mouse stuff.
Yeah, and you brought up this, like this year, a lot of the old Felix the Cat original cartoons went public domain. There was a flood of that showing up on YouTube the next day where, you know, previously that stuff would get pulled pretty quickly, and that it opened the floodgates to people to post it. And that, I mean, they're not making money on these things, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're able to find a lot of people who are going to want to pay for like a 1912 recording of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but I don't know. Maybe you can.
We'll get there.
I don't know. If you get the right person on the internet to support it, you might make some money.
Yeah, now that's what I call public domain. That's a perfect name for it. Now, the text messaging that we're getting in, everyone's supporting producer Mike, and he thinks that Cake News is by far the better business venture. So I guess you might be onto something there. All right, we'll get Jerome. We'll just reproduce it with Jerome and be done with it. Who knows?
You go.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks, Rich. Bye. Well, you hear that? Cake News for the win. So this hour, there's a couple other things I wanted to get to. A couple of high school stories. You know, maybe I'll do that next. Since we're looking at career paths, we're going to be joined by someone that's, I think, the CEO of Rose International, Sue Bathia. And we wanted to talk about what she believes is the future of jobs in America. We talk about automation, robots, companies that are going to, you know, fall to the wayside. Where are things going? Where does she think things are going? So let's say you're thinking about changing careers. What's the best way to do that? If you're someone that's young and you're trying to figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life, what kind of jobs should you consider where she sees a growing demand? We're going to talk to her about those sort of things. But there's an awesome thing that's going to happen in high schools in South Carolina. And I also want to bring up, there's an article about teachers sharing their darkest secrets. Oh, this is sad. We're going to get to all that, too. Overnight America, KMOX. Producer Mike, what did you say you're going to sell at your cake shop, Cake News?
I'm coming up with new ideas to go at my bakery. So I thought of one. We could sell fried cake pop balls called You're Fried.
Oh, man. You're starting to sell me on your idea.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, Scott calling in from Crystal City. Scott, what's going on?
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
Now, I got a way you guys could tie this in, and I have an idea with all the free space around the new soccer stadium to build a Cake News shop right there.
Cake outside. News, okay, right there.
Okay, and to keep your theme going with public domain songs, we could have the team come out to the battle hymn of the Republic. Hmm. That could be as they do Sweet Carolina out in in Boston when mm-hmm. you use that. And I thought, in keeping with the St. Louis theme, I'm not sure if any other names are still in public domain, but how about the St. Louis Soccer Joeias? This would all tie in together.
The Soccer Joeias. And then, instead of giving, actual dollar bills out, we actually give the dollar coins when they had her printed on there. We can just hand those out. And that's kind of the gimmick. We only give away Sacagawea currency as change.
Yeah.
It writes itself. It's perfect. Perfect.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, Scott. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What was your pop name, Producer Mike? It was the You're Fried Cake Pops. You're Fried Cake Pops.
Fried Cake Pops. You're Fried.
Okay, you know, there could be the, what else would there be? You know, whenever you buy chicken nuggets at a fast food restaurant, like at Wendy's or McDonald's, the best one is always the one that's shaped like a little boot. Because it bends a little, and it's perfect when you dip it in because of the little bend. How about the CN bend? And that's the chicken nuggets because it bends. The CN bend? That's not as good.
No, that's not as good.
I should have workshopped
that's
this with
why
you
why you're not
time.
In management at my store.
I don't come up with good enough ideas.
We could, you ever been to Fudgery is like a fudge shop, you know, where they'll construct big pieces of fudge, and there's other places that do stuff like that. We could build a big cake ball. And we could have someone saying, "We're going to build the ball."
Everything Trump related.
Everything has to be Trump related.
Right, I got a better one. Instead of C N bend, how about C hen bend? Because hen being chicken related, C hen bend.
Nope.
Come on, it's a little better. Oh, I love your idea though. See if that website's taken. You think someone's bought that domain? Go see if cakenews.com. Oh, please let it be a safe website. Don't, hold on. Let producer Mike give the thumbs up or thumbs down. Someone bought that domain?
It is for sale.
Oh, okay. So someone bought it. And it's for, at least there's nothing dirty on it right now. I'm always afraid, without checking a website first, mentioning a URL on the air in case it is something dirty and I don't want people to go look on accident. All right. Coming up in the next segment, Sue Battia is out of Chesterfield. They're headquartered out there. But the future of work, what happens? What does the workplace look like in 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now? We're going to talk to her about that. If you're a high school student, if you're in South Carolina, good for you, man. South Carolina, there's a senator there, state senator, Luke Rankin, that wants all state high school students to know more about personal finance. So he pre-filed a bill ahead of the upcoming legislative year that would require students to take a personal finance class, something that they have to take in high school. Bravo. Bravo. To that state senator there, Luke Rankin, because it could cover budgeting, banking, mortgages, insurance, retirement planning, taxes, whatever it may be. This is, I think, something that is sorely underserved in today's high school. Forget about some of these other classes. Honestly, I wish I could have skipped all the foreign language classes. That was a total waste of time for me. I didn't take it seriously. I have no intention of ever speaking a foreign language. I know some people in their later years, they want to go back, oh, I wish I could speak a foreign language. I'm not going to be like that. I think of all the wasted time I had, not only there and in college. I took German. I don't know a lick of German. I can't remember any of the words. But I can tell you that if I took a personal finance class, I would have been, I don't know, 20 times better suited for the real world than that. So thank you, South Carolina, for doing that. There's another thing on BuzzFeed, just real quick, because we're talking about high schoolers and where their jobs are going to take them in the future, and we'll talk about the future of work, what the landscape will look like for future high schoolers. So there was a BuzzFeed writer, Stephen LeConte, that started asking some listeners on Reddit, or some people on Reddit, if you're a high school student, can you share some, or you're not your student, but if you're a high school teacher, can you share some of your darkest secrets? And some of the things that people and the teachers were saying at these schools were pretty amazing. Let me read these to you. And I'm just going to imagine this is the high school producer Mike went to, and half of these teachers were writing these little comments because of him. Like, for example, one teacher said, yes, I put you in a group with the kid you have a crush on intentionally. I'm stuck here with you for 180 days a year. I want to see some drama.
My school was not co-ed.
Oh, that's a bummer. If your parents email a teacher and argue with them, the whole staff knows about it. Ooh, that's a little tip. You're emailing and yelling at a high school teacher. Says, we have much better hearing than you assume. We just choose our battles as it pertains to inappropriate comments. One time I swore in class in front of a teacher and they didn't call me out on it. I got pretty lucky. I forgot what I said. I was frustrated. I was working on some project and the thing kept breaking. It was like one of those, you had to like make this, I don't even remember what it was. It was something about like a race car and you had to power it through something. I choose a mousetrap. And I was building this thing and it was never working. I got so frustrated. I forgot what I said. And all the kids in the class like looked, I can't believe what he just said. Got a complete free pass from it. So that selective hearing is a thing, man. Here's another one that a teacher noticed. My students are the reason why I am second guessing having my own kids. One teacher admitted, it's just as weird for me as it is for you when we bump into each other in public. Totally get that. Probably better for you to ignore the teacher altogether. There's a lot of weird ones. High schools are scary. I read this and I think there's no way I'm prepared to bring my kid to school. All of these weird, crazy things that some kids do. Here's one. I wish I could let my students know how dumb they look sometimes and how they need to relax and stop taking themselves so seriously. It's a good bit of advice for anyone. Yes, I do have favorite students. No, I won't tell you who they are because that would discourage you, but yes, they're probably who you imagine them to be. One last one. One day you're going to come across people who are not being paid to tolerate you, and all of a sudden life is going to become considerably more difficult. All right, I thought that was pretty good. From a high school teacher perspective, what about high school students today? What's the future of the job market going to look like? Things are a little weird right now, because we're trying to figure out if automation is going to take over your job. So there's a lot of insecurities, but maybe there's a big bright side to the future. And we'll talk to our guest about that coming up next on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now is the founder and chairwoman of the St. Louis-based Rose International, Sue Battia. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're headquartered here in St. Louis, and just recently you were named one of the best places to work, not only in the St. Louis metropolitan area, but also the state of Missouri. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, Ryan. We're very proud of that and certainly want to, again, next year, be one of the best places to work. We take a lot of pride in making sure that we create an environment that our people, our employees thrive at.
I guess maybe I can ask you that. How do you create an environment where you become one of the best places to work?
Well, a lot of it is people having their own creativity, wanting to thrive and grow in areas that, you know, they may not have imagined that they would be. So the careers aren't really that defined year after year. We as a company are growing rapidly, significantly. So with that, our team has a lot of opportunities personally to grow their career. And there's a lot of opportunities for them to grow into roles that they may have never done before. And, you know, if they're interested and motivated, there's ample opportunity within the company.
Mm. You know, there's probably a lot of people right now that may be working for the government that are thinking to themselves, maybe it's time I start thinking about another career path. It's very frustrating, the things that could be going on when you're personnel that's required to work, but then you look at your bank account and you don't get a paycheck after all the hours you put in. So I'm sure there's people that are looking towards the future and how they want to handle their future when it comes to their employment. What do you think 2019 holds, and what do you think the future of the workplace looks like?
So I feel the future of work is very bright right now. There's a lot of jobs, new jobs that are going to be open and available as the baby boomers retire in the next year or so. There's going to be a total of 55 million jobs, out of which 24 million are newly created, and 31 million are the ones that the baby boomers are retiring from. So overall, there's going to be a lot of opportunities and new roles available in the workforce.
Yeah. You know, and you also look at, with Rose International, you work with a lot of employers. In, I think one of the stats I saw, 40% of its employees are minorities and companies that have spent money with minority business enterprises. So you put some priority, too, into diversity inside of the workplace.
It's very important to us to have a diverse workplace to reflect the changing demographics of the country we live in. And it's also very important to make sure women are able to thrive and grow their careers within the organization. So we are total in our workforce, close to 65% of our employees are women, mm-hmm. and 40% are minorities.
Right. And two, just this past week, I interviewed KAI Design and Build. I don't know if you're familiar with them in the area, but they're also a minority business enterprise. They've been around for a while. They designed the prison downtown here in St. Louis and all the Metrolink stations when they were building that. Some pretty high-profile government projects that they've worked on out here. And they talked about the importance of that sort of thing and how that really helped them and some of the initiatives that helped them thrive as a company. And I wanted to also look at, too, the embracing the future of work. So how do you see the work in general changing over the years? Because people are afraid that robots are going to take their jobs. They're afraid that they're going to get phased out of whatever they're doing now and cheaper labor is going to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always, when there's so much uncertainty, there's certainly a lot of fear that comes along with that. But really, it's an age of massive digital transformation, which brings so much change with it. It brings a lot of opportunity. So I think that that's what people need to focus on, the fact that it may look scary, but they need to look for the opportunity that comes along with that. So if you're in the banking sector, let's say, you just want to make sure that you understand what is the technology that is disrupting the banking industry and be familiar with that technology. For example, blockchain is one disruptive technology in that area. So if I was in banking, I would make sure that I understand that by taking courses that are available free online, in sites like Coursera and edX. So there's a lot of free information and training available if you are a self-learner.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're not caught flat-footed. When sweeping changes happen within your industry, you already have the domain knowledge. You understand the business aspect because you've been in the industry for many years. But if you familiarize yourself with technology within your industry, then you become more valuable.
Yeah. You know, Sue Bedia, founder and chairwoman of the St. Louis-based Rose International. I also wanted to ask you about the White House Economic Summit. I understand you were invited to participate. You wanted to look at some of the issues that are facing small businesses. What are some of those issues that small businesses are facing?
Well, that was a great opportunity. I really did enjoy being there with other small business leaders. And, you know, a couple of things that are important right now that businesses are enjoying is less regulation and better tax reform. Those are two things that are helping. And the consumer confidence is an all-time high, which is really helping the economy go full speed ahead at this point. So businesses are right now hiring everywhere. We hired just in the last year alone 10,000 people in 2018, and so for us as well, it's really a good time for businesses to take this opportunity of digital transformation, using new and latest technologies, and also taking advantage of some of the economic advantages that are out there.
Yeah. You're also projecting, too, in the future that there's going to be new jobs that will be created, things that aren't actually available right now. So as opposed to maybe someone's looking for a job and they're waiting to replace someone that's moved on or whatever, retired, as opposed to that, there's just new jobs in new industries that are coming up all the time. There's job creation happening right now, which is pretty encouraging.
It is. You know, take this statistic, 65% of children entering elementary school today, they will be doing a job that doesn't even exist today.
Wow.
That's how fast things are changing. So new jobs are being created, new roles that nobody's even thought of or heard of.
Yeah, and what kind of jobs, if let's say there's someone listening that has a kid that may be in that high school level and they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, like every other high school student, what kind of things would you say to encourage them to help them figure out what they want to do?
Well, technology is certainly a key going forward. I think it's important that people are very, very familiar with that. In 2020, which is just a year and a half, 2 years from now, it's predicted that there will be 1.4 million computer specialist job openings. And colleges are only going to be providing or graduating students to fill 30% of those jobs.
Mm.
So 70% jobs will remain unfilled. So that's a huge opportunity for people that are inclined towards technology.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be a math whiz to get into computer science. There are areas that interface with technology that require a lot of different skills, like emotional intelligence, working within teams. So those are skills that will require analysis to get all these computer systems in place, which are not heavy programming. So, you know, depending on your aptitude, I think that there's a lot of opportunity in the STEM field that people aren't really utilizing.
Hmm. You know, what if you're an adult and you want to change careers? So what kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, if you're an adult, it's, you know, technology isn't that complicated anymore. When I learned programming language, which was 30 years ago, it was very cryptic, very hard to code, and you had to sit in front of a screen and code for long hours. Now, technology has changed. Artificial intelligence and many other languages have come that are very simple to use. For example, Python, that is a programming language that isn't hard to learn. So if you're curious about programming, you could just learn that on your own and, you know, increase your marketability and be open to other job opportunities that otherwise you may not have been. Now, going forward, the jobs that will be more in demand will be things like regulatory affairs or data analysis, government relations, human resources is something that will never be taken over by computers. That will be in demand all the time. Product designers, marketing. So IT and math related, we already talked about that. So there's plenty of jobs that will stay in demand. The skills that you're going to need more and more in the next 2 years are going to be things like complex problem solving and critical thinking, as well as creativity in your work. If you are in some sort of a design area, your creativity is important. Computers can never do that. And people management, that stays as an important skill. Emotional intelligence, we already talked about that. That's, you know, being aware of your own emotions and reading when you're interacting with people, just to be able to calibrate a conversation intelligently by gauging the other's emotions and language, really. So that's something that you can calibrate as a human, but computers can never take that over.
Interesting. You know, when I was in high school, I learned BASIC. That was one of the programming languages that were pretty popular back then before a lot of these other ones came around. And even today, my son has this little toy called a Dash. Have you seen those little robots?
I have not.
Oh, they're so cool. So it's they're these little blue robots, and they got the wheels on them. But the idea is it introduces computer coding to kids. So they have an app that you put on your iPad or whatever, and you teach it basic functions to get the robot to do whatever you want it to do. You know, you get it to dance or change colors or move a certain way or wait till interact with something. And my kid loves playing with this thing. And it basically, it helps him get to the idea of how things flow with each other, how to do things in a certain order, and he can't get enough of it. So there's all kinds of things that they're teaching kids how to code. Definitely check that out. That little Dash thing is so cool. So there's things.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, there's a lot of great things that are being introduced to kids today because they realize that's going to be an important function for them in the future. Even if it's not a coding future to them, just the logistics, the way to think differently, the way to think like that is an important way to kind of expand your thought process. So how about this? Sue Batia, founder and chairwoman of St. Louis-based Rose International. People want to check out what you're doing, or maybe they want to look at a new career path. How can they find you?
So we have on our website thousands of jobs, openings that we are always looking to hire in, so people can go to our website, which is www.roseit.com, R-O-S-E-I-T.com. And on our website, there's a lot of information, what kind of jobs and roles we are looking to hire, as well as information about the company and our customers, our story, our history. Everything is over there. So please visit that. And reach out to us. You never know that we might have the perfect dream job for you.
No, you never know. Really, that's how it works. Gotta look. Sue Batia, founder and chairwoman of St. Louis-based Rose International, right out of Chesterfield there. Thank you so much for joining us on Overnight America.
Thank you, Ryan.
She joins us on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Okay, we're going to play a little game. Well, this could be fun. Or not. I don't know. I want you to guess what this person's on. What kind of drug or influence actually made him act the way that I'm about to describe to you. It happened in Key Largo, Florida. Isn't that the Beach Boys song? Key Largo. Baby, why don't we go? Away from St. Louis, where a man growled like a dog and rubbed his face in some glass. That's what I want to do. Away from St. Louis. That's a very poor Weird Al version of Kokomo. But so a St. Louis man was arrested in Florida over in Key Largo area for allegedly leading police on a chase in a golf cart and attacking a paramedic. I want you to guess what he's on. So pick your drug, any drug, or pick your whatever. Just whatever you think he's on. His name is Parks Terry, reportedly spotted weaving all over the road while driving a golf cart around 5 a.m. Nothing good happens at 5 a.m. on a golf cart. But still, he was in Key Largo. A deputy encountered him. Terry was allegedly swerving and running stop signs. He then started giving first responders a thumbs up as if they were cool with it. Yay, it's cool. Then it switched it immediately to a middle finger. Started yelling obscenities and continued to drive erratically. So far, what do you think he's on? Terry reportedly then went to a home. When a paramedic and deputy went to the home, this is from KMOV, by the way, report, great write-up on this. A woman answered and said the suspect was home, so law enforcement had to leave him alone. So ollie ollie oxen free, as long as you can get back to the house. Oh man, it's like Grand Theft Auto, that video game. Even though I don't play it, I understand that if you evade police long enough, they stop looking for you. So, hey, that's it, right? That's all you need. Just get home, and once you lock the door, hey, it's your property. You don't have to do anything. The paramedic then used a side door to try to enter the home, as the suspect was in there, not in good shape, and allegedly attacked by the man, Terry, who wrestled him to the ground. Ooh, wrestling involved. The woman who originally answered the door refused to let deputies inside, at which time the deputy attempted to kick the door in, but the woman held her body against it and kept it locked while Terry held his leg against the door. So on one side, you got police trying to enter. On the other side, you got this Terry dude who's holding it closed with his foot and this other woman holding it with her back, just leaning into him. Terry, once the paramedic got in, allegedly charged at a deputy, pulled his hand from the door and avoided getting cut by glass because of it. The deputy and three public safety officers attempted to take the 32-year-old to the ground once they got him, during which the suspect continued attacking the paramedic. They had to use a taser on him. Whenever you got to bring the taser out, and if you somehow become immune to a taser, that you're on a whole different level of whatever narcotic or drug or drink or whatever it is. So while he was handcuffed on the floor, Terry began growling like a dog and rubbing his face in the broken glass. So you have any guesses what he's on in right now? Do you have a favorite? If you had a top five, what you think he might be going? Now, Florida had that really crazy story about the bath salts and, you know, people chewing faces or whatever it is, even though that was reported and never really followed up. And, you know, it was kind of like misreported. It was really more of a fake news than anything else. But still, they get this perception that you go down to Florida, anything goes. Craziness always happens down there. You know, by the way, a lot of times the reason why you find out all these crazy stories is because Florida has some very relaxed laws when it comes to reporting these things publicly. So anyone can go online, look these things up, and it becomes very easy to find examples like these. Not every state has open records like they do in Florida, so that's why you see the craziness down there. Just on a side note. All right, so they finally get him. They tase him. Then he begins growling like a dog and rubbing his face in broken glass. So that's normal. I mean, everything's been normal up until this point. I mean, there's nothing strange about them. So while Terry was, they were trying to get him in the patrol car, he kept making his body go limp. He was fighting, kicking, yelling obscenities. He said he did nothing wrong. I was in my own home. Once Terry was inside the patrol car, he reportedly refused to put on shoes. Smelled pretty bad. You want to guess what he's on? I'll give you one. Okay, so say it out loud because I'm going to break it to you. So, da, 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 da. Do you know what he was on? It wasn't a drug. It was just alcohol. He was just drunk. Tell me this doesn't sound like a hardcore meth addict or something like that. Normally, when you find someone that's immune to tasers, they're definitely spiked on something. Like, their body is completely messed up. That's where you find, like, the superhuman strength that some of these drugs will just make you immune to these strikes. And then, when you hear about getting down on all fours and putting your face in broken glass, yeah, absolutely, that may sound like something someone on a meth amphetamine would do. But no, he was just drunk. Hey, how about that? So he refused to do a breathalyzer test. The suspect claimed his shoulder was dislocated, but he was taken to a hospital right before he was taken to jail. Terry was charged with a DUI, fleeing and eluding, 4 counts of battery on an EMT law enforcement officer, property damage causing $1,000 or more, resisting arrest with violence. What a weird dude, man. And I'm looking at his mugshot right now. He looks like someone that is just in the wake of about to sober up and realize just how much trouble he is in. You can find that story on KMOV.com. That's how it's reported. He's charged with some crazy things. All right, coming up in the next hour, tell me something good. You got a couple of stories you might be able to share with me? I always love to hear these stories. The nice part of the show is that we always try to highlight something good. If you got something good, what are you doing? Don't hide it. Share it. Share the love. Also, did you know that there's going to be a very important cruise coming up? I know Charlie Brennan is out there and talking about a big cruise and traveling he's going on. In fact, there's another cruise you may want to consider, the Flat Earth Cruise. We're going to get to that also in the next hour. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker, or you can give me a call, 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.